Hi everyone, this is Abby and welcome back to the Lake Health and Wellbeing podcast. Today, our lovely volunteers from the St. Kitts Department of Youth Empowerment are back with another episode in their childhood obesity series. In this episode, they have a really lively discussion about the causes of childhood obesity. We hope you enjoy this episode and here are our young people.
Hello everyone, my name is Marisa Pemberton and I am a CARICOM Youth Ambassador as well as a National Track and Field Athlete for the Federation of St. Kitts and Nevis. Today we're here to talk to you about childhood obesity in St. Kitts and Nevis, and we have some wonderful young people here to help us with the conversation. Today we're going to be talking about the causes of childhood obesity, and before I introduce them, or before they introduce themselves, let me tell you one fun fact about me, and that is when I seriously got involved in track and field at the age of 11, my coach found me because I was playing jumping last week with a friend. I saw him after school, I hit him, ran, and he couldn't catch me. And then did I know the coach was in a distance looking at me. That's my fun fact.
Wonderful. And good afternoon, everyone. I am youth activist Vickel Edwards Douglas, and we are here to bring you yet another energy-filled episode of Childhood Obesity Prevention. A little fun fact about me, I was a reigning remarkable teen 2015-2016 in the categories of youth activism and leadership.
Hi, I'm Eurysia, and I'm an average Joe, I guess. An interesting fact about me is that I low-key like sports.
Right on. Hi, my name is Jerusia Payne. I am from Sandy Point. Fun fact about me, I am a huge animal lover. I'm like huge animal lover. I've had at least all animals on this island, to be honest, from turtles to fishes to monkeys to god, anything.
Hi everyone, my name is Chris Tyson, one of the current 25 most remarkable teens in the Federation. Well, one fun fact about me. At one point in time, I had at least 20 rabbits at once.
Yes, and today, as you heard, our topic is the causes of childhood obesity. It's nothing that we're going to be having like a one-on-one, but we're going to be having like a panel discussion among ourselves, so you can hear our different views, you know, things that might have been said to us when we were out in the field giving information and getting the petition signed for the childhood obesity prevention campaign. And you know, even after we finish, if you have something you want to say, you can send a message or email to
You can send your comments or your questions to info@lakehealthandwellbeing.com or leave them in the comments section below.
And when we have another podcast, we would address your questions, or even if you give us advice, we can do a topic on something of your choice and that would be done. So we're just going to start off with anybody who wants to begin this afternoon's topic, causes of childhood obesity, any stories, any interesting facts you want to share. I'm listening.
Okay, so well, I'll start off. First of all, when the field trying to get these things, the petition signed, right? I approached two person in particular, and I told them about the research and what we're doing and what's not. And you know what really struck my nerve? Well, not really struck my nerve, but what's
it? An actively
Not really. It surprised me that, because I told them about the issue of childhood obesity and St. Kitts, telling them the fun fact, that well, it's a fun fact, but the fact that St. Kitts has the highest obesity rate in the Caribbean. So the actual words both use is, I refuse to believe that. And these people are within the child care facilities and what's not. So I'm trying to get him to sign the petition, and she's telling me she refused to believe that kids in St. Kitts are obese. So I'm flabbergasted, to be honest. Like, you're in a school environment, you can visibly see these kids on a daily basis, and no kind of obesity warning or signs struck you at no point.
Well, one of the reasons why this observation was made is because of a lack of proper diet within the schools. you have your vendors within the schools. They're selling their junk foods, their sweets, their biscuits that are not very healthy for the children, and they just they have them on display. They appeal to the eyes, so the children see it and they want to buy them. So the children themselves don't really know what the effects are to their body, but if they are buying them, they are consuming them on a regular basis, week in, week out, every day. And it is making them unhealthy, making them overweight slowly over the period of their lives. So this is just one cause for this observation that was made.
And that is true, and if you look at it, that is one of the number one causes. The diet of our children, what we as parents give them to eat and what they take on to eat among themselves. For example, there was a story of this primary school student. It was in school and he didn't have any money, so mm-hmm. everybody was buying their little sweets, you know, the conkle with condensed milk and, you know, little sugary beverages. And he was just there standing, you know, looking as everybody was buying. So one of the vendors called him and told him to come. He said, "I don't have any money." He said, "Don't worry that, you know, come." And she gave him one of these, you know, sweets
mm-hmm.
and told the student, "Tell your father or me for that." So, right, he didn't ask for the sweetie, but she called him,
mm-hmm.
gave it to him, and said, "To tell your father or me for that." And that's the kind of thing we are dealing with. Thing is, sometimes the children might have the money and they might bamboozle the children up with the money,
yep.
but even if they don't have it,
they still
mean they're going to get it.
Exactly.
And we have to look at these things. I also have a parent, and I would term as a model parent, because
mm-hmm.
she refused to give her children money to carry school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's the kind of parent that she believed that the vendors are like animals and they don't want her to be washing the children for the money. So what
Sorry.
She do, she buy her snacks, give her children
mm-hmm.
foods and water, healthy snacks to carry to school.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't have to deal with the hassle of the vendors.
Mm-hmm.
Because some of the vendors are like predators. You understand? They want to give your children what they think
yep.
they should be eating. And really and truly don't know what they're actually doing. But childhood obesity is not a myth. It's there. You might not see it right away, but as we continue to live our daily lives and go on, it's evolving. And it's now moved from a problem to an epidemic.
Indeed.
And it's not something that it could be cured overnight, but it's something that with maybe implementation of certain clubs, plans, things can be done to
mm-hmm.
make things better. And we need to really see that, that it's a problem moved to an epidemic.
Okay, Vika, what I want to ask you, right? He gave back the woman the sweetie?
No, he went to meet her because she told him to tell your father, you're up here for you understand? And the other kind of things we're dealing with.
And Jerisa, back to what I was saying with
yes.
the thing you said first. The person you're talking to, as we can say, maybe they just want to play it off as they're ignoring it
mm-hmm.
and it has nothing to do with them, so they don't care.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's why they felt as though, yeah.
Exactly. And that's the thing, because kids, not only, they should care, because children spend most of their time in school on a regular basis, on a daily basis. Like, from the age of, from the early age of months, actually, they go to daycare. Daycare is nursery, right?
Nursery.
Yeah, daycare. Okay, so from daycare to preschool, from preschool to primary school, from primary school to high school, from college. So then, if you get these kids in an environment in which they got to make choices, like, what they're going to eat every single day, with such a, not such a smile, but at such a, at such a young age, making that kind of decision, such a healthy decision, in which they have no knowledge of, and they present it with things like corn curl and sweetie and them oily, what do you call it, wrap thingies, and
yeah,
if they have, like sausage rolls, some of them just excessively oily for no reason, and you eat these on a regular basis. I just think that putting kids in the environment without that kind of knowledge, not only that kind of knowledge, but as a teacher, you should monitor these kids, because they're going outside with these, I just say, animalistic vendors, persuading them to buy things that they don't even offer that are healthy. So you just, the kids, them just practice this unhealthy way of living until, they're bigger.
And most of the time, the vendors who actually sell these products don't even eat them.
Exactly.
That's true.
A matter of fact, I know a lady, Nope, too personal. Anyways, that's the point. So I don't know who it is.
Yeah, and you don't call your name,
yep. I think one reason why the person would have said, you know, she doesn't agree with the fact that the kids are obese and things, because you know how you don't believe something until you see it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe because she hasn't seen it either in her school or in her household, or, you know, because we don't talk about it that much. But hopefully this campaign will bring awareness. You know, sometimes, what was it saying? Something is not important to you until it really hits home.
True. Yeah.
You know, so that's you don't want to call them oblivious to what's going on, but maybe she's just seeing what's happening in her school, but she's not seeing what's going on on a whole national level, you know, and with the rising of this other, with these fast food places that we have in cities, not just the multinational companies, KFC and Burger King and such, but even though everywhere you turn and there's a you can buy chicken and chips left, right and center, you know, so we have to take into consideration that, hey, you know, you can't just look at what's going on in your school and say, okay, I'm not seeing any obese kids, so it can't be true.
True that.
You have to look on a national level and think, and it was actually, so yeah.
Sorry. On the topic of vendors, right, I was never really given pocket money to go to school with, so even, and I never had animalistic vendors either, I didn't have the experience. we would just be out there, and like once in a blue moon I would have candy to eat, but then like I feel that my body kind of is really sensitive to sugar, so if I have too much I'll just feel extremely bad. So I never even in primary school I never bought as much candy as I would love to, but I guess that's, I don't know, one factor why I'm not, you know, obese.
So the thing is, what, seeing that we are on the topic of the vendors, really they're not all bad vendors, because in my day I had some really good vendors, and I'm sure Joyce can attest to this, seeing that we were schoolmates. You had people like Cheryl Warner, who used to make nice cheese sandwiches and tuna sandwiches to have a snack.
Can't let Miss Pips as well.
And that's true. You had bread and salt fish, you can have for a snack. You had Miss Hillary, who had, you could get a nice fish and all these kind of things.
What pocket money kids get these days, the thing is, not on these days, but the smaller ones, what pocket money do they get? Like $1, $2, $3. What can you purchase with $3 but candy?
But the thing is, too, and she goes as far as making local drinks at an affordable price. So you get your passion fruit, your lemon. So, well, I'm just saying is that some vendors took what this into consideration and saying that, you know, every vendor want to be selling sweet and biscuit. You know, let me sell a sandwich, let me sell a piece of fish, let me sell a nice healthy beverage, you know. And these are the kind of models we should want to emulate. You know, the vendors who go up their way to make nice healthy cheese sandwiches, tuna sandwiches, bread and salt fish.
Treat the kids like they're their own.
Exactly. Because you need to remember, when you look at kids, whether you have or not, treat them as if they are your own.
Exactly.
What you want your kids to eat, you feed to them. And in that, you're going to build their bodies, build their minds, and in turn, build a healthy foundation, not for yourself, but also for the country. And we should look at this as a really good example. I don't really see it anymore, but I'm sure that some way it's there. You know, that aspect of thinking about the healthy choices, how our kids should really be doing, and for people like them, I would give them an applause.
I agree. It's not all of them are like that. You know, but I just feel like nowadays it has become a competition between vendors. You know, when you go outside and you see X amount of vendors out there, they're competing with the person who's on their left and the person who's on their right, trying to get your dollar. You know, so maybe, you know, I'm not saying it's all of them, but maybe they're thinking, let me get this money from this kid's office and sell them whatever it is I need to sell, more so than thinking about the health effects. You know?
Yeah. In my days of high school, there were these vendors that sold bags of fruit when they were in season. So you have your cigarettes when they're in season.
Really?
Yeah. it might not be the entire tree that is filled with fruit, but have a section for your punk salad and your beignets for those children that don't want anything sweet or too savory to eat.
And that's true. But that's how it is when you're part of the Vendor Olympics.
Indeed.
If I see you bring on your corn for this week, I'm going to bring on your biscuit. You know, and that's how it is. You know, it's all about the battle for the best that you're getting your own soul and all there. So it is, we can't do anything about it. But what we can do is trying to implement certain plans. You know, as a parent, you can choose to give your children what you want them to eat.
Mm-hmm.
Give them money, give the choice to hoping that they'll make the right choice. Or just leave them to the vendors and the vendors eat them up.
True.
So we did. So, can't really do anything about it at this point in time. But are we going to just encourage them to do the right thing?
Yeah, and make healthier snack choices for the children. It might take, it's going to take some time and a lot of work, but
money.
Money. But eventually it'll pay off. And,
yeah,
you don't know, maybe you tell the same child and help you out. You never know.
True. Talking about, he missed Chris.
Foods?
He's saying that back in his time, like, he's so old, he just, just came to college. But I don't even know, though. Culturally, I think that, well, I don't think that. It is. I don't know about you guys, right? But my grandmother take the fatter our child, the more healthy the child be. And even when babies are, you don't say a plump child, you wouldn't call a plump child healthy. Because we're trying to keep up date with the child, what do you call it, weight at the time. It's put the weight aim at the specific time. So yeah. So my grandmother used to say the fatter you be, when the healthier you are. And to be honest, I had a cousin, she was real skinny, and my grandmother gave her, what do you call it, they had this thing where it become fatter. I forget what it called, but yes, that's my grandmother's ideology, to be honest. The fatter your child are, the more healthy the child are.
You should be able not to cross that line where it is fat and it is obese.
Indeed.
Yes. But because you can see there's somebody who is, you know, we'll call plump-alicious.
Mm-hmm.
You know? They're not fat, they're not skinny, they're just look, you know, they're glowing.
Yeah. And that's the thing too, the labels we give them, these delicious labels, fluffy, you're plump, delicious.
And creamy.
Oh, what do you call it?
And thick with two C's.
Yeah. I don't understand.
Thick with two C's.
These are comfortable labels we're giving to obese people.
So, I mean, only if you would be comfortable to be in fluffy. I think that, but it's not just that, but obese also go with your height.
Yep, exactly.
You weigh be a certain waist, a certain height, kind of thing, but you can watch and see if a child is fat and if that child is obese.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we shouldn't mix them up.
Mm-hmm.
Because we do consider that when you're a certain weight, you're healthy, but all the time that's not really true anymore. Because you're fat, you're healthy, because you're skinny, you're unhealthy.
Exactly.
So you're saying this, so I'm just trying to get to that. I'm hoping that we're not just targeting kids who look.
Yeah, no. I wanted to say that as well.
You know, we should be talking to every parent, because even your child could be very slim
and still
trim,
be unhealthy.
But you have to remember that there are other healthy parts, you know, that might not show itself as fat, but it could display itself as diabetes or, you know, anything at all.
Cancer.
So, exactly. So we're talking to everybody out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember when I was in primary school, my mom used to give me my apple and such. And then I don't like fruits. So let me get that. Oh, that should be my
don't
fun
like fruits.
Fat.
Wow.
That should be my fun fat. Yeah. But I love my vegetables though. You know, so I would substitute in a sense. But nowadays, I think primary school or the smaller schools, my little cousin, she goes to McKnight Dickey. I think they have a fruit day.
Yeah. Most primary schools
primary schools.
Yeah. Primary schools.
Korea.
Yeah. They do have fruit day. No one getting.
So what you think? High school should have
they do. They should. They should.
I would have loved that.
Talking about high school, I actually did this interview, right, with a person. What about it?
Yeah. No problem.
Okay.
And while she's getting that ready to, one of the next factors that you want to really look at is exercise, you know, how active whether your children are or not. Because in this modern time, what we do, we come home, those of us who have games,
mm-hmm.
you know, we sit behind the Xbox and we just eat and we just play. not really thinking about how it's going to affect you as a person.
True.
You know, they're just getting weird, you're going lazy time after time. Apart from when you were younger, well, in my day, you know, we didn't have all these kind of things.
Nope, technology.
So maybe you want to go out.
Telling you.
You know, the little puppy. You have your friends come and say, boy, you know, we go, you know, you know? And you're going to play the basketball.
These days,
they
come and log on from Xbox 360.
And that's the thing.
That's the thing.
I can attest to that because I've always been a sedentary type of person. So it's only like real that you'll find me up running up and down the place. But yeah, like I said, children nowadays these don't exercise as much as they used to.
The crazy thing about it, I always tell people this. Well, I always feel as though I agree that kids come home and they watch TV and they play games and stuff like that. But I think what we forget is the fact that one reason why kids are staying indoors now is because parents might not feel that their child is safe outside. You know, so you can't just blame parents or kids for staying inside because honestly, I think I'm going to be that parent who, if my child is outside, I have to monitor them, know where they're going, because I don't want them to wander and be in the wrong crowd or anything bad happening to them. Because today is not like yesterday.
That's true.
You know, so you try to entertain them while they're inside.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like you solve one problem, but another problem is arising. So that's how I feel. That's how I think about it.
Okay. I understand where you're coming from, because me and my friends, when we first went to college, even after we went to college, we trained to get up. We used to try to get up at 5 o'clock and run into Newton Ground. We did it on a constant basis in the morning around 5 o'clock. So then after we're doing that, we had this shooting up Crab Hill, and we realized a lot of activities happening up there. So we just decided, you know what, we're going to stay safe, we're going to stay outside our house, and we ain't going to get shot. So that's the thing, we're afraid to go out there to actually exercise, because we're afraid for our life in general.
And that's the thing too. I had my days of that in high school, but I used to be up at 4 in the morning. I had my friends who I used to go, even adults, you know, we would go running and what's not. But seeing that I started college, you know, it's much more effective, you know, early morning, and it means like after 7, you go to class 8 o'clock, then you come home late in the night, and then, you know, it's like a job for, I don't have the energy to get up anymore in the morning for 4.
Yep.
Because I try to get much sleep as possible now, you know, but, you know, it's there.
Oh, but,
so, if you want, this to the interview, you
okay.
know.
It's kind of in the best, but let's listen.
Okay, so, Shaquan, you already know who I am, right?
Yes.
Okay, good. So, Shaquan, I'm doing a research for the Healthy Caribbean correlation, and we're doing the research but in particular to eradicate childhood obesity in the Caribbean. And I would just like to ask some questions, because we're trying to find causes of childhood obesity. So I'll just ask the following questions to help me analyze and try to get some kind of, should I say, some kind of result. Okay? So, Shaquan, first of all, can you tell me, well, of course, you're a boy, right? Okay, good. Can you tell me your age?
I'm 14 years old.
Okay, that's good. What school do you go to?
Charles Eamon Secondary School.
Okay. And Shaquan, let me ask a series of questions, and you answer honestly for me, please.
Okay, I'll try my best.
Okay. Okay, so Shaquan, the first question here is, do you, at school, do you purchase snacks or food or whatever from the cafeteria or vendors or both?
Both.
Okay. And on a daily basis, what is your favorite thing to eat from both vendors or cafeteria?
Chicken and chips.
Chicken and chips. And any snacks you like eat?
Yeah, conquer that biscuit.
Let me see. What else? Other question. Okay, I have this scenario here. So, what if you have $20, right, for break on a particular day, or maybe on a series of days? What would you purchase with that $20?
I went to purchase chicken and chips and a drink and save for the next day or save for something else.
And what would you buy the next day?
Maybe the same thing, maybe okay. A different it up.
A repetition of chicken and chips, okay.
Or change it.
Okay. So, okay, besides the, how long is PE, by the way? About an hour and a half, right?
Yeah, I guess.
About an hour and a half. And how much time do you have PE a week?
Once.
Okay. Okay, so besides PE for hour and a half once, you know, week time, do you do any other physical activities outside of school?
Yes.
Like what?
Pull-ups, sit-ups, push-ups.
Okay. Okay, Jacqueline. Okay. Miss Putin on the school. Okay, yes. In your cafeteria or at the vendors, do they sell anything? Well, what do they sell?
Food products.
Like what?
Chips, chicken, Johnny Cake.
That's the cafeteria? What about the vendors? What do they sell?
They sell
whatever, yeah.
They will sell food and snacks, sweets, biscuit, chocolate, conkers.
Okay, chocolate, conkers, sweets, okay. So at these vendors and in the cafeteria, do they sell any vegetables or fruits?
Not the vendors but the cafeteria.
What do the cafeteria sell?
Salads. Sometimes fruit bowls.
So what about the vendors?
You know, we didn't see them selling much other stuff.
Okay. Let me see. Other question. Do you have any friends or any classmates or anybody that you know around your age that you consider to be obese?
Yes.
Okay. No, I don't need any names, darling. Okay, and out of five, how much would you say are a beast? Just any five random people in your... No, out of any five, would you say, how much would you say a beast?
Five random people?
Mm-hmm. No, like, out of five people in your class. No, I can't even explain it. Like, if you put people in fives, right? Out of all the five,
one to two.
So between one or two obese, okay.
And it's there within, okay. You know, the schools, and there you had a youth, 14 years, telling you what he's experiencing in his school. And another issue that we can even link to that is social issues that can even cause obesity, if you look at it. Because there's a link between social issues and obesity. The lack of money to purchase healthy foods or lack of safe places to walk or exercise can increase the risk of obesity, if you look at it. So, as Marissa said before too, that eating healthy is expensive.
Indeed.
You know, some people think that the kind of family you may live in, you might not be able to afford to eat healthy. And it's there because, for example, McDonald's and all these Burger King, you can get a 99-piece chicken and you have to buy yourself for $5 and this kind of thing and it shows. So I would rather buy chicken for 99 cents.
Exactly.
And you get 2 pieces for me $5.
Even though only chicken.
More than that. Instead of going to buy a salad.
I sure remember. When I was broke, and I'm a cheap person, I'm very cheap. Everybody knows me, I'm very cheap.
So good,
but one time, when I was in school, when I was in college, or even after that, like I would go to the supermarket, and you know, I want to cook something, and put me the vegetables on the side.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to pick up the vegetables, and I said to myself, okay, I'm going to cook today, but I'm not going to cook tomorrow, because I'm saving whatever I have for tomorrow. By the time I'm going to use these vegetables again, they're going to be soggy and they look bad. And I have to throw them away. You know? So, I said, you know what? Let me just go on the shelf and pick up the canned vegetables. It's still vegetables, yes, but it's, you know, it's you know, sitting in that water that preserves it to keep it that shelf life. So, which is less healthy, of course, than the actual fresh product. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I know what my pocket was saying. And my pocket was saying, hey, go on the shelf and pick up that peas and carrot and put down the actual carrot from the thing. But, so, yes, so we have to start wrapping up today's session. Anyone else has any last words that would like to add?
With the thing you were saying about being frugal and buying stuff, I was getting the petition signed from a couple of taxi drivers, and two of them were very passionate about agriculture, and they were saying that yes, it can be expensive, but seeing that we are the, you know, known for our fertile land, we could easily grow our stuff. It can take time, but eventually we'll get there, and then you wouldn't have to be purchasing every minute, and then you have money going out there when you could easily grow it and then, you know, get it.
That's true.
And even for me, even when I had the petition, I had a friend, you know, and when I gave him information about why we're trying to do this, I said, like, why? When I've cooked bad, you know? And I said, drink some water, friend. Water is good. You understand? Because, you know, how good it feels when it's so hot and you have a nice glass of ice cold water and rice lemonade, something natural, you know. But for me, I love passion fruit juice. I like local drinks.
Yeah.
Passion fruit, to me, that was refreshing, you know, it revitalizes you and everything, you know. So we just stay away from the Coke and the Sprite and all this kind of thing.
Plus, when you drink Sprite and Coke, y'all don't feel the tired afterwards.
I
like it, the zombie energy.
Yeah.
I know.
But I have, if I just drink water,
fruit drink, y'all won't catch me drinking a soda. I'm sorry.
When I do drink soda, I feel more tired than anything else.
It's not giving you anything. Like, it's taking from me. It's like taking everything from me.
And that's the actual food of it.
Yes.
When I was getting the petition signed, I was speaking to two ladies, and when I was telling them what the petition is about, when I got to the part about the sodas, she was going to sign it at first, but when I told her about the 20% tax on sodas, she adamantly refused to sign it. I asked her why, and she said, well, this is all linked to the increase in the cost of living. If the sodas go up, the cost of living will go up, and the cost of water will go up. So she'll stay with her cheap sodas. And not sign the petition, which may increase the cost.
Quick input. Cost of living will go up, but if she drink, what they call it, healthier things, she lifespan will expand. Yeah. So let's think about that.
I tried to explain that to her, but she refused to sign.
There's a person afraid that if they see one thing go up, everything goes
up. Yeah, you
but
see.
But it doesn't necessarily mean the cost of living, everything will go up. It just means that specific thing, but maybe vendors may say, hey, that girl, maybe I can increase the price and all this stuff. So that's my only thinking of why she said what she said. But
what,
I think
what
we need to...
Sorry,
go ahead.
So you can have...
Exactly.
Water
cannot go up. And
exactly.
If it does, we protest against that.
You got to the point.
And water is free. You know, we've got a government punch.
Thank you. We'll put you up and then this
so
is...
I think we need to end by letting people know that obesity is indeed real. So let's stop refusing to believe that kids are overweight and obese.
Yes. Hashtag too much drunk. So, as we continue to wrap up, you know, we're going to have some last words about what we're trying to do. But just to refresh you again, you know, look out for us as we travel in different neighborhoods, different towns, community villages, and things in Nevis to get the petition signed on childhood obesity prevention. You know, we are calling you to take action.
Yes.
And something that can affect your home, your community, your school,
your children,
the country, and in turn, the Caribbean.
Indeed.
And then would then branch out to the world.
I know, we don't
and
have
you don't have all the people trying to stop this, but you have youth and young people
exactly
who are energized and geared and pushing to make a difference. So all we ask is for you to just hold our hand.
Yes,
and
support
us. Support
us. Even if we put
us.
A little tax on these drinks.
Exactly. We're thinking about the betterment
of our future.
Exactly.
Kids
and
future.
Our children. So in order for our children to be strong, independent, healthy leaders, we have to feed them the good things.
Indeed.
You understand? Apart from feeding them fruits and lots of water, feed them to let them know that you're great. You know, you're intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
These are the kind of things we should be feeding our children.
Indeed.
We should be empowering our children and our young people. So for more information, you can then
You can send an email to info@lakehealthandwellbeing.com, or you can comment down in the comment section. Or if you want to sign the online petition, you can go to healthycaribbean.org/COP. That's healthycaribbean.org/COP.
Beautiful. And remember, from our home to yours, as we're trying to make the Caribbean a healthier Caribbean, hashtag too much drunk.
Amen.
Your voice matters, so sign now.
See you guys next week.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to this episode. What an interesting discussion our volunteers had about the causes of childhood obesity. You can get involved in the conversation too by leaving a comment or question in the comment section below the show notes, or you can email us at info@lakehealthandwellbeing.com. See you next week, and thanks again for listening.